Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the fourth and final chapter of Hilchos Sukkah. In fact, it is the final chapter in all of Sefer Nashim, which means that we're in for a treat at the very end of each of the Svarim in Mishnah Torah. The Rambam ends off on a very profound hashkafic note, which often ties the whole Sefer together and leads into the next one. In this particular Perek, though, the Rambam will tie up some loose ends relating to the actual process of the Sota waters, and what might disqualify the waters, when is the appropriate time to have them drink the waters, etc. Halacha Aleph. B'chamish Asar Ba'adar Nifnin Beis Din L'Darkei Rambam. On the 15th day of the month of Adar, Beis Din turns its focus towards the communal needs. U'bodkin al ru'ya l'shto slash kosa, v'al ru'ya l'kanila l'hotziya b'lo k'suba. And they turn to those that might be fitting to be tested by the waters of Sota, and they have her drink, and to those who might be fitting to have a warning registered against them not to seclude herself, and if she did, to have her be divorced without receiving her ksuba. However, the Rambam now comments that at any point in the year, it is appropriate and able to be done to have the woman drink the mei Sota if necessary. Halacha Beis. Now, we only have the Sota drink these waters during the daytime. Now, the entire day is fit for this Sota. It's not specific in the middle of the day, beginning of the day, end of the day. Another halacha. We don't have two women who are Sotos drink at the same time. Shneamar, as the Pasuk says, Vehemid Osa HaKoin. The Koin will have her in the singular stand before him. Halacha Gimel. Sota Sh'amra Eini Shosa Machmas Yirab Afachat Sheishla. If the Sota woman had said that she doesn't want to drink the water, but it was because she had been overcome by fear, she's trembling, she's afraid, so in that case, we allow her to go back, if she says that she wants to drink the water. If, however, she says that she doesn't want to drink while she's in good health, she's normal, she's not overcome by fear, she's calm. In that case, we have to suspect that maybe it's because she's admitting guilt, she's admitting that she had actually slept with that adulterer, and therefore we don't allow her to go back and say that she wants to drink the bitter water. Halacha Dalet. Amra eini shosa kodem shetimachi kamagila, hayar migilasa nignezes, ve'enak sheren hashkos basota acheres, u'menchasa mespazeres aladeshen. If the woman says that she doesn't want to drink the water before the parchment that's been written for her, that has God's name on it, along with the other psukim, before that has been erased, so in that case, we take that parchment and we bury it away, and it's not fit to be used to have some other Sota woman drink from it. And as for her flower offering that she was supposed to bring, that gets scattered over the ashes of other things which are burned in the temple courtyard. V'im amra eini shosa achar shenimcha kahamagila ma'arin osa u'mashin osa balkarcha. If she says that she doesn't want to drink it after the scroll has already been erased, so then we force her to drink the water. Halacha hey. Uma'aymin alaha shetishta va'omer la biti im bar la chadavar shethora at imdi alboryeh usi va'altaf chati lafish ena maim dom el sam yavish munach al basar chai yesh shamaka mechal chal v'yoreid ein shamaka ein ozaklam. We intensely scare her, we intimidate her to the point where we intend for her to drink at this point, and we say to her as follows: my daughter, listen, if it's clear to you that indeed you are pure, so then don't be afraid, drink it, and don't be nervous, because the water is comparable to a dry powder which might be placed as a medicine on one's skin. If there is a wound there, so then it's going to sink into the skin and cause pain. If there is no wound, so then it's not going to have any effect, and therefore you have nothing to be afraid of. Halacha Vav. Amr Tmeya Ani, Afal Pisha Nimcha Megillah, Hamayim Nishpachin, Mimnei She'ein Bahem Kedusha, Minchasa Mespazeres Al Deshen. If at that point she says that she is impure, so then, even though the scroll has already been erased, the parchment has already had God's name erased from it, nonetheless, the water is poured out because they don't fundamentally have any holiness to them. And again, as for her flower offering, it's spread out over those same ashes. Halacha Zayin. Megillah Sota Shaksava Balayla, Psula. Shneimar v'kasav v'gomer v'hishka v'gomer v'ekrev v'gomer k'shem shekarbana v'yom kach k'sivas ha'megillah v'hashkayasa v'yom. If the parchment was written during the nighttime, it's invalid. As the pasuk says, it'll be written, and she'll drink, and the carbon will be brought close. Just as the carbon must be during the day, so too the writing and the drinking must be done during the day. Ksevel mafreya, psula, shnemar, hala, ala seder. If it is written out of order, such as backward, so then it's invalid as well. As the pasuk says, the curse, it refers to something which is written in order. The curse as it is. Ksevel kodem shtekab ala hashvua, psula, shnemar, vishbia, vikasa. If it was written before she had accepted upon herself that swear, in that case it's also invalid, because the pasuk says first that she shall be sworn, and then afterwards it will be written. Halachaches. Ksava igeres, psula, shemar, basefer. If it's written in a letter form, so then that's invalid as well. As the pasuk says, it must be written on a scroll. What does that mean? It means that it wasn't written with having rules, lines, indented, what we call sirta, on it. Ksava al shnei dapin, psula, shemar, basefer. Sefer echad, lo shnai ushlosha. If it was written on two pieces of parchment, it's also invalid. As the pasuk says, it'll be written in the sefer, the parchment. Not more than one, not two or three. Ve'enal kosev lo al niyar v'lo al diftera el megillah sefer shnemar besefer. And it also cannot be written on a piece of paper or on a piece of parchment which hadn't yet been tanned properly, because the pasuk says it must be written in a proper scroll. Ve'im ksava al niyar o diftera psula. And if indeed it was written on paper or parchment that hadn't been properly tanned, so then it's invalid. Halachatas. And if it's written by a regular member of the Bnei Yisrael, or by a Kohen, but one who is underage, so it's also invalid, as the pasuk says, and the Kohen will write it. It also is not written in some type of ink which will be permanent, which will leave behind a clear mark. Rather, it must be written with a certain type of ink, one which will be able to be erased without having this special herb of kankanto placed in it to make it be more permanent, as the pasuk says, and it will be erased. That implies that it was writing which is fit to be erased. Vim kasav b'davar hamiskayim psula. If it was written with something which is going to leave some permanent mark behind, then it's invalid. Halacha yod. Nishar b'magila rosham ksav nikra psula ad shimchok yafa yafa. If, as they are trying to scrape out the wording of the parchment, something is left behind that's still recognizable, and it's invalid until you erase it very, very well. Kasav os achas umchaka, v'chazor kasav os shnia umchaka, aj ishlem psula, aj tia kula ksuba. If they write one letter and then have it erased, another letter, have it erased, and so on and so forth, even though they wrote the whole entire thing, it's invalid until you have the whole thing written out at once, and then it's erased in that fashion. Halacha yud aleph. Ksava shelo lishma, o mechaka shelo lishma, psula. If the writing was done not for the sake of this particular woman, or the erasing was done not for the sake of this particular woman, then it's also invalid. Kaz of shtei megillos is shtei sotos. Umchakan l'stoch kos echad. O l'stoch shtei kosos. Ve'erban v'kos echad. Ve'eshkel shteihen psula. If two separate parchments were written for the purposes of two separate women, and then they were erased with the intent for each of these separate women, and then it was done, though, into one cup, or into two separate cups, and those two are mixed, then it is also invalid. The feature call achas man lo shasa megillasa, because each one of them has not drank in her entire megillah. Machakan mishnei kosos ve'erban v'chazer v'chokan l'shnei kosos lo yashkosan v'mhishke kasher. If they were erased into two separate cups, and then were mixed, and then were afterwards redivided into two separate cups, so in that circumstance you're not supposed to have them drink it. But if they do drink it, it is technically valid. If the water spilled, so then you rewrite the parchment, and afterwards go and bring other water. If part of it spills and part of it doesn't spill, you should not have her drink from the rest of it. However, if it is done nonetheless, then it is still valid. If the water of a sota was kept overnight, so then it becomes invalid. Hiktim afer l'mayim psula. If one put the dust into the cup before the water was placed, it is also invalid. Lo hayasham afer b'heichel, maybe afer mibachutz manicha b'heichel, lokech menu v'nosin al pnei amayim. If there was no dirt left under that tablet which they would pick up in the base of Migdash, so then we bring dirt from elsewhere, place it into that spot, and then take it from there, and then place it on top of the surface of the water. Ve'eno maybe efer, al maybe rak bubes shehi kafar. However, you are not supposed to bring ash in that circumstance, but if you bring rotten produce, which can count as dirt, then that is valid. Halacha yud gimel. V'lo yachvor b'kordom b'heichel v'yotzi afar. One should not dig with a shovel in the base of Megiddush and then bring up dirt in that fashion. Demar, the Pasuk says, Asher Yevikarka Mishkan. It is supposed to be dirt that was on the surface, on the earth of the Mishkan's floor. Vimchafar v'hotzi afar, kasher. If you did dig and brought out some dirt, so then that is acceptable. Halacha Yudalad. Hikr ves minchasa v'achar kach hishka kshira. If she first had her offering brought and then only afterwards drank the water, that is still valid. Nitmeis minchasa kodim shani chena v'kli shareis. If her flour offering had become impure before it was placed in the holy vessel, harizu tipode kichol minachol shenitmu kodim she iskadshu v'kli shareis v'yaviu minchacheres. So in that circumstance, you redeem, you transfer its kedusha from it onto money, and then you purchase other flour offering in its stead, just as would be the case with any flour offering which had become impure before it had been sanctified in a holy vessel. If, however, it became impure after it had already been placed and sanctified in a holy vessel, in that case, it must be burned. O shelo ratzav by lashkosa, o shavo edi tuma, o shemes hu, o shemes ahi, hayam mincha kula nisrefes. Similarly, if she were to admit before the little piece of the flower offering was placed on the mizbeach that she had actually had relations with that man, or she just says, I refuse to drink it, or her husband no longer wants her to drink it, or witnesses come in and say that she had had relations, or the man dies, or the woman dies, in all of these cases, the offering is to be entirely burned. And if any one of these situations occur after that piece of the flour offering had already been offered on the altar, on this bayach, in that circumstance, then the remainder is not eaten by the Kohanim. If her husband was a Kohen, the rule generally is, with regards to a Kohen bringing a flour offering, the other Kohanim do not eat it. In that case as well, in our circumstance, we will say that if her husband is a Kohen, since he has a portion in this flour offering, then its leftovers are not eaten. However, on the other hand, we can't have it be entirely burnt, as would normally be with regards to a male Kohen's flour offering, because, after all, she has a portion in it as well. Rather, that small portion which is placed on the Mizbeach is placed on the Mizbeach, and as for the remainder, it is spread out over the place where the ashes are. Nimsu edad zomin, minchasa teite lechulin. If it turns out that the witnesses who had implicated her had been lying, it's shown that they had been elsewhere on the time when they had testified that she had been having seclusion with this particular man, so in that case, then her flower offering is already considered mundane, it doesn't even need to be redeemed. Halacha tes zayin. If one warns his wife through numerous men, saying, don't seclude yourself with him, or him, or him, or him, and then she went ahead and secluded herself with each and every one of those, in that circumstance, she still only brings one flour offering for all of them. At the time when she's forced to drink the sota waters, as the Pasuk says, it is a flour offering of warnings, i.e., you can have one offering count for numerous warnings. Halacha Yud Zayin. Yesh the Baal Gagal Shua Alaha Shelo Zinsa Im Ish Zeh Shekinei Labo Velo Im Ish Acher Veshelo Zinsa Tachta Mishnis Arsa Kodem Shetin Aseh Velo Acher Shiniseis. The husband has the capacity to make his wife swear other swears aside from the one that she's actually made to swear once she has a biblical swear in play. So the rule is you can use a concept called Gilgul Shvuah to roll on other swears as well. And thus, the husband can make her swear as well that she did not have relations with the man that he had warned her against, and also not with any other man, and that she hadn't had relations once they had already had the first stage of marriage, before they had been fully married, and also not after they had been fully married. But he is unable to make her swear, even through the process of Gilgul Shvuah, that she had not had relations before they had the first stage of marriage, or that she had not had relations after he had divorced her, if it was a case where he had divorced her and brought her back, before he had brought her back. Because had she had relations at that time, she would not be made forbidden to him. And the rule is that any time when she would have relations and not become forbidden to him, he can make any stipulations regarding how she behaves. Lafikach, im kanas ivimto, eino magagal la shalozinsa kishai sisha meres yava. Accordingly, if he ends up marrying, through levirate marriage, the wife of his deceased brother who didn't have any children, in that circumstance, if it comes to a case of being a sota, he's not able to roll on any other swears that she hadn't had relations while she was in that earlier stage of waiting to be married to him. But he is able to roll on a swear on her that she not had relations as an adulterous union while she had been married to his brother, because had she had relations at that stage, then she would indeed be forbidden to him. And similarly, if he had divorced her and now remarried her, he can roll a swear on her that she hadn't had relations in an adulterous fashion once they had been married the first time around. He also has the capacity to roll a swear on her in the future that she should not have relations in an adulterous fashion while still married to him, and that she should not have relations after he remarries her if he were to divorce her and then remarry her. Accordingly, the nafgamin of this, what boils down, is that if she were to have relations in the future, even though she wouldn't have drinking after she had those forbidden relations, the waters from now will take effect, and the same occurrences will occur to her, the same terrible curses. And that's why she says, yes, yes, amen mish zeh, amen mish acher, amen nesua, amen arusa, amen lishavar, amen lahaba. She agrees both with regards to the man that he had warned her about, as well as some other man, both with regards to the full stage of marriage, as well as the earlier stage of marriage, both with regards to the past, as well as with regards to the future. Halacha yudches. Netzas hachamim al b'nei Yisrael l'kanos l'nshein, sh'ne'amar v'kinei es ishto. It is a rabbinic ideal for the members of the B'nai Yisrael to warn their wives in this fashion, as the Pasuk says, and he will warn his wife. V'chol makana es ishto, nechnas habo ruach tara. And in fact, anybody who does warn his wife, it's apparent that he has become possessed with a spirit of purity. To be clear, as we will see momentarily, this means a certain type of warning. V'lo yikana la, lo mitoch sok, v'lo mitoch sicha, v'lo mitoch kalas rosh, v'lo mitoch meriva, v'lo lahata leha ima. However, he is not supposed to warn her while they are joking around, nor while they are having a conversation, nor in a state of frivolity, nor while they are fighting, nor to just instill fear within her. V'im avar v'kinei la b'fnei edim mitoch echa mikol advar ma'ilu, hari zeh kinoi. Nonetheless, if he transgresses and he warns her in front of witnesses, while in a state that was just listed as being less than ideal, nonetheless, it still does take effect as a valid warning. Halacha Yudches, the final halacha in the parak, and indeed the final halacha in all of Sefer Nashim, a very fitting end, as we will see. Ein roi likpot likanos b'fnei edim t'chila. It is not appropriate for a man to rush forward and immediately issue a warning in front of witnesses to his wife. Rather, ela beino leveina binachas ubederach tara vazhara kidei lahadricha ubederach yishara ulahasir hamechshol. Rather, he should do so privately, him and her alone, and he should do so softly, in a way of purity and of warning, gently guiding her in the path of the straight and to remove any possible stumbling block. The goal is to save her, to save the relationship, and to prevent any possible problems, not to be angry with her and fight with her. V'chol mi she'eino makbid al ishto v'al banov u'bnei beiso, u'mazhiran u'poke darchehen tamid, ad she'id ashehen shleimim mikol chet u'me avon. And with regards to anybody who is not careful concerning the conduct of his wife and his children, the people who live in his home, and he's not checking up on them in a gentle, kind fashion, making sure they're constantly doing that which is right, directing their actions until he knows that his household is free from any sin, any mistake, then he is held accountable. He is considered a sinner. Shneamar, as the Pasuk says, V'yadata ki shalom ahalecha, v'kata navcha, v'lo sechata. And you will know that there is peace in your tent, and you will check out your dwelling place. and that way you will make sure that you won't sin. It is incumbent upon every leader of a household to ensure that he uses his influence for good, to instruct his household into the correct way of following Hashem's words. That leads us beautifully into Sefer Kedusha, from Nashim, where we've learned about the ideal marriage relationship. We turn to how one is supposed to live one's life imbued with holiness. Have a wonderful day.